This is an Alliance podcast.
All right. What's up, bro?
What's up?
Wow. Okay.
Yes, we're here.
We are here. Live and direct.
Live and direct. With the check. Okay, I'm just playing. Anyway, what's good? It's Sky here. You know, from the Southwest Atlanta, where I'm born and raised, but now I spend my days in the Southern California beach haze. And I'm with who?
What's up, y'all? This is your girl, Sylves. BA all day, two up, two down. You know what it is. Coming to you. Shoot, see? Struggle day. Coming to you live from the B&W. The weather keeps changing every day. I'm tired of it already. Yeah, it's that time of year.
Oh, wow. That's it? Yeah. Is that it? That's all?
What? Yeah, for now.
Anywho, and who are we? We are the Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
That'll lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
So what are we doing this week? Oh, I guess I go first. So this week, we give you another edition of SBFC Soccer School, and it's like really ridiculous and intensive because the NWSL don't know how to act.
Always. And then we bring you the recap of the NWSL matches this week, as well as mentions of global action.
And then we bring you our SBFC superlatives.
And then we introduce a new segment called SBFC GM.
Is that what it's going to be called?
I mean, you can come up with a better name.
SBFC, run your life. Get your life.
Okay. Clearly, I'm not the creative on the team. So that's fine.
Just playing. We'll figure it out. And then, as always, you will hear about our hits and rants. Riffs and rants and raves. And it's a flavor. It's a flavor because we're in Latin and Hispanic heritage. Okay. And so, yeah, you're hearing all the vibes. It's going to be all the vibes. But anyway, let's get it.
Okay, let's get into it.
So, OMG. So, let's start. Oh,
yes. Segment.
Oh, soccer school.
Soccer school. And I guess it makes sense since we might do a little, I call it reckless speculation, trademark Dan Le Batard, about the expansion draft. I figured we should probably explain to the best of our ability what the hell is happening.
Okay, so then explain what in the world is the expansion draft?
Okay, so the expansion draft is when the league has a special draft for teams joining the league. This year it happens to be two. So Angel City FC, which is the Los Angeles team, and the yet to be named San Diego NWSL squad will be joining the league next year. And so at the end of this year in December, both of those teams essentially get to poach players from existing NWSL teams. That's the best way to put it, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's hot in these streets.
However, they can't just poach anyone. There are rules that allow other teams some protections.
Some operatives, some. So what are those protections?
So some of those protections are going to be, one, those teams can protect 9 players, one of which can be a United States Women's National Team allocated player. Do we have to explain allocation?
Yes, you have to explain allocation. What do you think this is?
Allocation. God, I'm trying to think of a like layman's term or layman's way to explain allocation. Essentially, allocation means a player is on contract with their national team, and that is who is paying the bulk of their salary or paying their additional salary. I'm not an economist.
I guess they're paying most of their salary.
Yeah. And so they are contractually obligated to the national team. And that's in an effort, obviously, to protect those players in some way, shape, or form. And there's a long history of the league being tied to the U.S. national team because the other leagues have folded. It's a whole long, convoluted history. Allocation will probably go away after this year, but not before the draft. So allocated players tend to be quote unquote star players. And so that's usually how that works. And that's why it is important for teams to be able to protect allocated players, but they can only protect one this year. last year when Louisville entered the league and was part of their expansion of an expansion draft, they other teams could protect two allocated players. So that's where we are. And then also, in addition to both California teams being able to take a player from each team for a total of 9 for each of the California teams, they also cannot take more than one player from a player position. So earlier on in our podcast history, we explained different positions. So you essentially have forwards, midfielders, defenders, and goalkeepers. And so if Los Angeles takes a forward from North Carolina, for instance, San Diego cannot then come and take another forward for North Carolina. They would either have to take a midfielder, a defender, or a goalkeeper. I'm doing the whole thing? Okay.
Sorry, my microphone echoed.
All good. I can keep it going. Not a problem. All right. So as we mentioned before, one allocated player can be protected. For some teams, that is going to be rough, like Chicago or North Carolina, for instance, who have multiple allocated players that they would like to keep. Another rule that got thrown in about a week and a half ago, maybe, we found out that Kansas City NWSL club is exempt from the expansion draft. So their players cannot be poached. And we also found out that this exemption is a tradable asset. So another team can trade Kansas City for the right to protect their players. They would obviously have to give up some things for that.
Ew.
And it's not able to be split. So it's not like LA and San Diego, for instance. It doesn't have to be those teams can both trade with Kansas City and split the difference. It's all or nothing. So one team has to make that trade with them. And lastly, we also found out that the allotted spots for international players has gone from 4 per club to 5 per club.
Yep.
So each team can have 5 international players. Keep in mind, there are many workarounds for the international spots or international players to not take those spots. Citizenship, green cards, things like that. And plenty of teams do it. So yes, that's a bit of the chaos. If it sounds confusing, it is. But those are the general rules. We should also update you as of today. Angel City, in trading for Kristen Press, gave up their expansion pick. So they cannot take a player from Louisville. So in theory, Angel City has 8 players that they can take in the expansion draft now. Mm-hmm. But that could change with trades and deals and everything mm-hmm. else. And as we will get into the next few episodes, as we play general manager, a lot of teams are going to be making a lot of wild, wild moves in order to protect themselves and the players that they want to keep, offload some contracts that are going to become really expensive next year. Yeah, it's going to look very different.
Oh, yeah, but we will get into that in that speculation part.
But that is, to the best of my ability and as succinctly as possible, a way to explain the expansion draft in the NWSL.
What are these goalkeeper rules? Are we supposed to?
I know that was requested. I think we can do that next week, though. Right. But yeah, shout out to Abby. She asked us to explain why when goalkeepers can and cannot like pick up the ball versus having to clear it with their foot, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, so if they kick it back, you can't do it. In short, if they do that, if the defender or whoever is on their team, on the goalkeeper's team, kicks the ball back into the box effectively, then they have to clear it. And this is why you will see a goalkeeper go, "What are you doing?" And be like, "Don't kick it back to me. Don't kick backwards, y'all. Just don't do it." That's the advice from an ex-goalkeeper. I'm telling you that. Just
don't kick backwards into the box. That makes Sky very angry when she sees it.
It's like, I hate when people play. Don't play on the back. What are you doing? Anyway, we're going to do that. We'll talk about that next week to get you clarity.
Yes.
Because then that's why you... Because I think part of why she asked, and some other people even pointed this out, because I think Caitlin Sheridan.
Oh, yeah.
It was like she was having to decide when and where. But there's layers to that. Sometimes it is somebody kicks something back into a box. But a lot of times, sometimes you wait to the last minute. If you could cut a player's angle off, it doesn't matter. Like, you'll wait before you try to do anything. Because if you miss and then it's empty net behind you, then
Yes.
They got a point and you're on the struggle bus.
Yeah, and that's happened before. And I let you take the lead because you're an ex-goalkeeper. But yeah, we'll definitely get into that next week because the goalkeeper's job isn't actually that easy.
That's a perfect segue into the NWSL.
Yes, yes, it is. So we had action this week. All teams played. And this was the first week back after the international break. So we're going to do a quick rundown and just touch on a few points from each of the games. We're trying to keep things short, y'all. We mean it this time. Yeah. So the first match of the weekend was Gotham FC versus North Carolina Courage. And Gotham won that match 3.
Oh, they beat the underdogs.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yes. 3-1. I guess the biggest points to take away from this is Midge Purse, because I'm not calling her Margaret. That ain't for me. Midge Purse, that's not who she wants to call her Margaret. Midge Purse is back, baby, and she scored. And wouldn't you know, Gotham's offense looks functional again.
They look normal. They look very normal.
They look like a threat. Who knew an injured player coming back would make a difference?
A playoff team.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Efi certainly MVP, looked happy.
That's like,
yeah.
I mean, because sure. She was serving balls and somebody was running to the end of them. Actually, there's a clip. Somebody posted a clip of a picture where there was mad empty space and literally the goal that Midge scored, she was almost at half field and she made up the difference real quick.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Midge. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She was very happy. North Carolina played a 3-6-1. They down a little bad right now, fam. They definitely miss Sam Lewis.
Yes, that's I don't. My observation is Paul Riley needs to make tactical adjustments. Yeah. That was the adjustments from the what used to be the 4-3-2.
Yes.
He needs to put 4 back. That doesn't need to happen again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to give him credit, he was missing some key players. I know Merritt Mathias was out. I know. Jessica McDonald came in, and, you know, later in the game. She had a knock. Dabinia was out after international duty. And obviously, again, Sam Lewis is out. So they are missing some key pieces, but man, that was rough.
Yeah, you can't have it where your key pieces that are on the field are having to play multiple positions.
Yeah.
And Lynn Williams is in form. Please stop. That's the rant later, though. Yeah, let's see. Chicago versus Portland.
Yeah, Chicago versus Portland was the nightcap game, I believe, for Saturday. And Chicago won that match 2-1 in Chicago.
Wow.
I know. So a few takeaways from this. The Chicago defense is elite.
Elite. High level up there in the streets.
I would not want to play them. Not with that defense anyway. And then also, Malfi was back, right?
Super back. Like back?
Yeah. Yeah, but on the back of her national team performance in the last two games against Paraguay. Yeah, so Chicago, however, still needs a goal scorer.
They need
consistent.
So before Thursday, they need to trade for one. They need to get a striker badly. They got a bunch of forwards. They need a striker, though.
And Sky is saying Thursday. Sorry, I probably should have said this. Sky is saying Thursday because that is the last day for anybody to make roster changes before the rosters freeze.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll see what happens. There's always tomorrow on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then for Portland, it was a beautiful pass on the goal that they did score. But I've said it all year, Portland struggles to finish as many chances as they get. And that midfield struggled against that defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was all brick performance by one Casey Krueger. It's the whole back line.
Yeah.
Casey Krueger, Sarah Gordon, Tierna. Who else back there? Everybody back there. All y'all back there. If you was back there, you was doing that thing.
It's not Lewandowski. That's the wrong team. I know who it is. I can see your face.
Yeah, it should shut that down. We it was done. It was shut down. That was.
And even that midfield, I think it's Gattro and DiBernardo. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really playing good. Double sixes.
Yeah, like, they're really good. Whoop. Oh, are we?
Well, I mean, you said you was gonna be shite. Go ahead, say what you.
All I am saying is, without a certain six, both the national team and Chicago look okay.
Oh,
they don't look worse.
That's true.
They don't look worse.
Look better. They look like a sound defensive situation all through the midfield into the back line.
Chicago's gonna have to make some decisions. It's all
have to make some decisions, yeah.
They're gonna have to make a decision. But props to Chicago, somehow find a way to win most of these games. They probably
with no striker
and probably the best defense in the league. Yes. So props to them. The next match we probably don't have to talk about a whole lot. So beat them down,
Houston beat the mess out of Louisville 4-0.
First match on Sunday, 4-0. Houston's biggest problem is always is consistency. They have really good pieces. They showed it this match. They probably could score more than four.
Yep.
I believe what Mewis got in on the action, Michelle Prince got in on the action. So they're very much a counterattacking sort of team. They go on pace, and yeah, we'll see. They got a hard stretch to try to make the playoffs, but we'll see what shows up. Louisville needs an identity. And they've been through some stuff lately. Yeah.
And so that's why they're not going to the playoffs, y'all. They're gonna be family women.
Yeah.
They're gonna be at home. They might be other leagues, but it's not happening. They gotta find identity.
And I think, you know, obviously with coaching change and everything, that's a part of it. I think losing Nadine really was a blow.
Yes, that too.
Like, she was the identity pretty much, right, whether they had tactics or not. I just think it's gonna be a rough 5 or 6 games for them. But
they're playing a bunch of teams that have to make the playoffs. Speaking of which, that's a good lead-in into the Kansas City versus Washington situation.
Congratulations to Washington for playing and completing a game. It's been about a month. Seriously, it's been like a month.
And they won 2-1, by the way.
They did win 2-1 at home. I think they were at Segra. What are you, Segra?
Yeah, they were at Segra. Yeah. Surprisingly. Wow.
Turf bounce. Yeah.
Oh, they won at Turf Bounce?
They won at the Turf Bounce field.
Turf bounce and around. Like, that makes me want to do Bankhead Bounce.
Okay. I didn't mean to start that. So actually, Kansas City opened the scoring in this game. And then Washington came back. We can talk about that penalty another time. Kelly O'Hara should get a SAG card for that.
That was some acting.
It was a little
I told you, cast iron.
Somebody said it's not a dive if there's contact, and there was contact, but my God, did she sell the
cast
lie.
Cast iron put on an act right there.
She sold the lie, boy. She sold the lie. I love that nickname, by the way. but things we took away from this game, and speaking of sixes, Andy Sullivan, man,
is a god.
What a 10-day stretch for her.
She's balling, y'all.
We were very angry at Blacko, is all I'm saying.
She was just balling for club, balling for country.
Could have taken an actual six. Never know. We'll never know. Yeah. And then also,
my thing was the roster rotation. Y'all need to make the playoffs, and y'all lost 3 points and some goal differential.
6 points.
6 points. My bad. I'm tripping. 6 points and 6 points in goal differential. Yeah, you give Trinity Rodman her Wheaties as long as she's healthy, and you start her every game. You gotta fit that you can't be doing that. Cause what's not talked about is because Kansas City needs a coach.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had like 5 goals in the first half.
Yeah, they missed some chances. They missed some very real chances.
So if they have a coach, they're probably a playoff team. But yeah.
Yeah, and that team is building, I would argue, the right way, and they certainly have talented pieces. And like I said, they have an asset that nobody else has that they can trade. So yep. I imagine they will be doing some roster building here. They seem to have a very competent management group, which is rare in this league.
Yeah.
So props to them. I think they keep fighting. Like I said, they have talent. So, but yeah, I agree. They need a coach. They probably would have snuck in the playoffs if they had some identity.
Because they probably would have made up for everybody being hurt and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is perfect segue into the Orlando, Pride playing a 3, whatever the heck that was, 1. And then playing the OL Reign.
OL Reign, yeah. Trounced.
Getting trounced 3-0.
Could have been a lot worse, actually.
It should have been a lot worse. Probably
there was a few, and Ashley Harris made a save or two as well. I know Rose LaBelle probably stared her down on that one, but just really one of the best games I've seen play. Yeah. Of course, that's my team.
Okay, here we go.
So I know I tweeted this out. Sophia Huerta at right back. The agenda is on.
Yes, she looks good. She looks good.
Really
she
can, good.
She can replace Cast Iron and be the. like, why you call that girl Cast Iron Skillet?
Because
you
get cooked.
You get cooked. You gotta season, get cooked and seasoned.
You know how that old grease stays in there and stuff, and you get new grease. You just keep getting cooked, and it's just yeah.
So you can relieve Cast Iron of her duties. Let her think about it a little bit and bring in Sophia because she out here balling. She could be really good on the U.S. Women's National Team. And if she would like to come to the warm shores of the Los Angeles, because y'all know I'm an Angel City.
I almost muted Sky just now. I need y'all to understand. Every day, I hear this every day about Sophia Huerta, as if that's not the first person we're going to protect.
Yo, she looks like she'd be balling in person. Like,
I mean, you know what? Dreams are healthy. So who am I?
Yeah, why you gotta be like that? I'm just saying she
because that's my team and my player.
And she also plays well with Kristen Press.
Congratulations, yeah. She can do that on the national team.
and she can build in club anyway. Oh, but yeah, Sophia's
every day
balling. So that was a good test because she effectively helped and contributed in shutting down. Well, really, Sydney LaRue.
Yeah, between her and the center back pairing of Alana and Lou Barnes, who I think is vastly underrated. She's really played well this year. But yeah, and I mean, I think that team obviously always had the pieces we knew at the beginning of the season when all those names came down. They were going to be a problem if they ever figured it out. And it certainly helps that Laura Harvey is the coach.
Is an elite coach.
Yeah, Laura Harvey's growth as a coach is very evident. And as somebody who sat with her in our virtual press conferences before and after matches, she knows. She knows exactly what she has. she knows if they do what they're supposed to do, they should win this all. So she can do different formations. It's almost like an overload. Like, we in theory have four at the back, but it's really three because Sophia works it up. And so, and like you said, it didn't help that Orlando really tactically set up incorrectly. Oof. And again, admittedly, Marta did not start because she was coming back from international duty. So she only came in later in the second half.
But if you're going to do the three, I guess they too did the 3-6-1. Look, you can't do this foolishness where you decide you're going to put players in the midfield who aren't really midfielders. You can't have your attacking players who aren't versatile like that existing in the midfield. Because what drove me crazy all game, even as a ex-defender, goalkeeper, a thing that drives me insane that I used to witness on my high school team is the lack of concept of midfield spacing. And so Orlando was getting sucked in like crazy. And that's part of how they were getting whooped. Because they weren't spacing correctly in the midfield. And so that just opened the Red Sea parted.
Right.
So, yeah. Moses wasn't coming through. So it was
a while. Yeah. Round. Yeah. And they didn't get a whole lot of chances on goal. I think they had one shot on target. Sarah Buhadi saved it. And dare I say, she's kind of figured out how to play goalkeeper in the NWSL.
She's no longer a liability.
Yeah, she knows
the delegation how to figuring it out.
I know. Look at that. We can learn new things no matter how old we are. So, yeah, that's sort of me. And I just want to give a special shout out to my favorite midfielder, Jennifer Marazan, because God, that pass. that third goal. Oh, shit. That's
so pretty.
Yeah. She could do that in her sleep. That's ridiculous.
Bro, she was almost in Utah, man. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I know. I understand. I mean, I would feel that way too. Before we get into superlatives, we just wanted to give some quick shout outs. There was international play since the last time we recorded. So we just wanted to shout out some bangers. We're not going to include them in our superlatives. Hey, Katarina McCarry is good, right?
When you play her, you allow her to be central. She's a phenomenal central midfielder. False nine situation. They just be scoring from anywhere, be assisting from anywhere. Who would have thought?
Yeah, she hit that banger in the second Paraguay game. My lord. Mm-hmm. Props to Tobin Heath for the pass bet. She knew it was coming.
Yep.
She sees the future. Bless her. And then also we want to give a shout out to the Lynn Williams banger in the Paraguay game. I think it was the first one actually, but. She ripped that thing from outside the box. Just to shut y'all up. Because y'all got a lot to say. We talked about that last episode.
Include her coach.
Yeah, putting some respect on Lynn Williams' name. Y'all mad disrespectful to my girl. Shout out to Khadijah Buchanan's goal, because what?
And man, she even had the stance where she was like, you saw that? Y'all saw that? Y'all saw that? It's fire.
Yeah. Defenders don't score very often, and that was a straight up banger. And I believe Kat got the assist on that one, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And this is for Leon, sorry. And then Marta Cox from Panama.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Scored a bomb goal.
Like, go Google that. Like, or, and I'm pretty sure it's on our SBFC Twitter. Good Lord. Good Lord. And then she scored another one like 2 minutes later or something like that.
And then she took off her shin guards.
Yeah.
And then they had her Panama shin guards.
That was
cold. And then she was like, went right to the camera and was like, look at him. I was like, that's the kind of carrying on.
Yeah. That's the kind of carrying on we're here for. I was like, that's cold. That's cold. And I think
that's actually called, that's a new word, SBFC. Shea butter flexing.
Oh yes, you did bring that up. And I think if you see the clip on SBFC Twitter page, it's both goals, so you can see that celebration. But that was a new one. I was like, okay, I respect that. And that's a really good segue into superlatives.
Wait. So it's superlatives. They're gonna start in 3, 2, 1. Drop that beat.
Okay. Hey. All right, so let's do this rundown. Shea butter bomb. Welcome back, Mitch Purse.
That was a firebomb.
It
Much
was.
Love.
That was a beautiful team goal. And assist from Iffy, you know, her life, yep. her soulmate. So it seems. So it seems. They miss each other when one is not around.
So much, yeah.
For real.
Shea butter boom.
Darian Jenkins. Girl, what? She hit it with her off foot. She hit it with her off foot, too.
Yep. So. I was like, oh!
Yeah, that was filthy. She did that run up and everything. That was filthy, Darian. All right, Shea butter dime. Couldn't decide.
Oh, it's two. It's two.
Crystal Dunn on that beautiful pass to Christine Sinclair.
Yeah, that was pretty. I was like, ooh.
Oh, you mean Crystal Dunn can do that?
Oh, Crystal Dunn is a phenomenal midfielder.
Crystal Dunn can dime passes.
A tacky player? Ooh, who knew? And then Mal Pugh was just serving dimes. Just serving dimes all over. Just been dime.
Her set pieces are phenomenal. Reminds me of her mom.
Accurate.
Like her mother. Just like her mother.
That's first impression, y'all.
Yeah, that's first impression.
And then Shea butter and one.
Trinity.
Ryman.
Every
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
I was making, yeah. Ooh, I made a face. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I was like, how you just gonna get subbed on and then be violent?
I cannot wait till January. I'm giddy. Shea butter brick, I think we mentioned it before. Casey Krueger was in her bag. Exactly.
Brick.
She was, I think I made a joke, she was at my back door because she was everywhere else. So
Casey. It was several tweets of thank Casey. Everybody thank Casey. Say thank you, Casey.
Man, that's
didn't say thank you. Yeah, they shut that down.
That Chicago defense is so good. Shea butter mic check. King
ZR D. King. Yeah.
She's had good for one.
It should have went in. I was mad. That shit should have went in. Yeah. And then Clean Smith.
I don't even know if one of them had a mic check. But
no.
Check his mic.
Yeah, the broadcaster. Yeah, he had a. He called. I think it was. I think Kling had sent Sophia a ball and she missed it. And yeah, that's when he called her Kling and Smith.
So
Kling, whatever. Yeah, that's new.
Kling and Smith is a. Yeah, that's a new person. So that was a fun joke. Shea butter heat check. Again, we mentioned Casey Krueger. Welcome to adulthood, Olivia Moultrie. Because you. Casey Krueger did not care about the children on that flip. It was very like innocuous too, but she tried to make a run.
She shut that down then.
Yeah, absolutely. I did Shea butter furniture moving. I know it's not every week, but Alana bodied Sid. That was rough.
And then, I was like, dang, Sid ain't scoring today, y'all.
Like, yeah, she had to be sit like that, Phil. It's all love, though. I think they shook hands and kept it moving. So, yeah. It be like that sometimes. The game is the game. Shea Butter, get your fits right. I went with Mitch, who wore the, were those leather pants or was it jeans?
Those are like, they might have been leather wings.
Maybe. Yeah. But, and then she had the white tank and the leather jacket. And she said she was inspired by Grease. So I was like, shout out Danny Zuko, Mitch Zuko, however you want to do it. But you know, Gotham always comes with the fit. So, and Mitch is back. So I feel like we should celebrate that. She looked good. She felt good. She played good. So that's what's up. We love to see it. Player of the week was actually pretty hard, but I think.
Casey, so who's the player of the week then?
Casey Krueger, I think that's it. She showed up the most. No, Casey Krueger. I imagine if you saw her heat map, it would just be the field. So, yeah, I'm gonna give it to Casey Krueger. For real, for real. So yeah. As the beat. All right.
So Casey Krueger, you done did that. You got that. You should be starting on the national team.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a break. Speculation, whatever it's called. Get your club right, get your fits right, get your whatever. Pimp my club.
Pimp my club. Well, that's nice.
Whatever it's gonna be called. That might actually but we'll be back after break.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah, we're back in the streets. For SBFC Pimp Your Squad.
Okay, that one works.
Well, we're gonna speculate about your favorite team.
Sorry, it's real dry up here right now.
But anywho,
okay.
So what are we? So in this first edition of the speculation,
yes.
We're going to just speculate, and then we'll deal with teams in the upcoming episodes.
Yeah, because that takes work. I'm not going to lie to you. I have not had the time in life to pour over rosters. So, but we will. So I guess just some of the things that we're pretty sure of overall.
I go first. Okay, my bad. Sorry. I just dropped the mouse. Hold up.
All right.
So first, we know there's going to be a lot of trading before and after the expansion draft. Because you said you thought US allocation's ending. So
yes.
No more are the US soccer is no longer paying for the contracts of all these players. So clubs will have to pay for them.
Yep.
Clubs gotta come off that coin.
Yeah.
Which means all them little rosters where effectively the club wasn't paying for most of the salary or maybe all of the salary of a U.S. Women's National Team player, the Chicago's, the North Carolina Courage Underdogs,
I would say the Thorns prior to
the Thorns
this year. Yeah. Yeah,
Thorns prior to this year to a point. Well, they got to break bread.
Yes.
So you're going to see some key players get traded.
And a key note is that the day after the expansion draft, the trade window opens back up.
Yep.
And that weekend is the college draft. So
yep, it's all happening.
Genuine chaos. By the way, this is all like a week before Christmas. So get into that. Merry Christmas. You got to move across the country. That's pretty much how this is going to go. So also, like we said, Kansas City, we think it's probably likely to trade that protection clause because they can get something for it, mostly proven players and some money. Louisville, I don't know if we've actually ever broken down Louisville's expansion draft chaos themselves, or themselves I should say, but as we assume Louisville will eventually have to lose and or trade the rights they still have for Tobin Heath, Alana Kennedy, and Caitlin Ford.
Yeah.
All of whom are currently either playing for Arsenal or Manchester City. So, and like we said previously, they had Kristen Press's rights, but they traded that to Angel City for money and the pick in protection. we are assuming, and please know how insufferable Sky is already.
It's beautiful, baby.
Already. There's not even a team. There's one player. That Angel City will likely be stacked because they have a lot of money and it's Los Angeles.
Yep.
And then Oh, and we also found out today, I forgot to say that in the beginning, Los Angeles, Angel City, sorry, and San Diego also have like unlimited money to spend on international players, essentially.
Crank the money guns, baby.
In order to quote unquote even out the disparity that expansion teams. Normally that would probably be true if it were a Louisville, who I'm sure is very upset right now that they didn't get
right.
that same consideration. But when you're two Southern California teams, that seems a bit unfair. Having said that, though, the likelihood of them getting a bunch of star players through the expansion draft is actually pretty low.
Yep.
So they got to go get players the other way. So, yeah. And so we said that they're not going to probably use a lot of their college draft picks. They'll probably trade them because they're more valuable as an asset, a tradable asset than they are right. as actual picks. If you're not getting the top, maybe five players. So having said that, you also have to build your roster squad 1, 2, and 3, right? So we'll see. It'll be a great exercise.
Yeah, it's other thing is like with college draft picks, I know people are like, well, you're going to have the stack. Well, the top of the draft will be stacked as like, and then you'll have some pretty decent players in the first round. But the thing is, due to the pandemic, these players have been playing so much football. Like you're seeing a lot of these college players come in the league and get hurt.
Yeah.
Prior to the league, and then, or sometime in their rookie season. And so, you know, what are you gambling? Because I know people were like, well, Louisville, when they got Angel City's draft pick, did Angel City, you know, did they sell too much to get Kristen Press? First of all,
no.
Angel City made out like a rabbit, man. Because they only dropped 75K. They lost the draft pick and then got protection.
Right.
And Louisville got protection. That's it. Of somebody who's on
of how much just in football in terms of Kristen Press is worth,
right?
That's not much to give up. Like the value of that trade is less than what Kristen Press is
right.
quote unquote worth.
Right.
So that's one. Two, that also assumes that the draft pick is going to play
Woo!
United States. Here's the deal. If you are a first round draft pick in the NWSL, you are good enough to play overseas.
Yep.
And by overseas, I mean Germany, France, England, Spain.
And make coin.
Sweden, make coin, right? Or even Italy. So, like, they have options, right? If you're, presumably, it's going to be either Mia Fischel, Naomi Garma, maybe Jalen Howell, right? Like, and all of them are more than good enough to play and play significant minutes in Europe. So, they have that option, and we don't know what's going to happen with rights either, so
right.
that'll also be interesting with the CBA coming into the league, right. So yeah. you can't necessarily just hold somebody's rights the way, say, Louisville is doing.
Because I can sit here and speculate, because it's looking like if we're moving draft pieces to the end of the year, and we're not keeping it where it was, there in 2022, a CBA is coming into light, so that means this right madness is probably ending. And so, yeah, again, Louisville needs to do something with the rights of these players who are active in balling globally, because you're not going to make no money.
Yeah, right. You should trade it before you can't get any value for it, because the truth of the matter is the day after the expansion draft, you're probably going to lose people and not get anything. So, because they simply don't have to come play. If they're playing in Europe.
Right.
They can just play the rest of their career there, in theory. And you can hold their rights even after they retire. It's a bit of madness. And so hopefully that rule goes away. That includes discovery rights, which is essentially, oh, we saw you play once. or we claim you.
Yeah.
We claimed your rights, whether you've actually ever played for us or not. And we get to hold them. So that's screwed over a lot of players.
Yeah. So that's important, because like these draft picks, they can effectively make it clear that they're not only going to play in the NWSL, but they can go play overseas somewhere, and then you can't cop their rights. Katerina Cario did that effectively to bypass Louisville.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like, I know people want to go, oh, Louisville got the pick, and they probably going to try to get San Diego's pick. But if people don't want to play, you know, you just got picks for picks. Like, you got a bunch of draft pick assets and Tobin Heath and Alana Kennedy and Caitlin Ford, and they're all playing in the WSL.
Right.
So,
you know. Yeah, so it's interesting. I imagine they also are probably a little miffed that Kansas City got that exemption, but I also think that just came as part of Kansas City was formerly the Utah Royals, which were formerly Kansas City. which is a wild circle.
Yeah.
But with the upheaval that happened in Utah, right? Like part of saving that team was probably offering them that.
I can see them being salty that they now can trade that.
Yeah. 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 San Diego tweeted about that. That was interesting.
Wait, I was like, so what are y'all trying to do? Because the only reason you care is if you think Kansas City is about to trade it, and then the team you were targeting is effectively about to get that exemption.
Right, because any team can trade with Kansas City, by the way. It's not just Los Angeles and San Diego. Any team can do that. And again, we mentioned before, I think particularly Chicago and North Carolina Courage have a multitude of players they are trying to save. So... and so we'll see. People are going to get really shrewd. It's going to be very interesting. Also keep in mind, like Sky said, right, with the CBA coming and sort of the how we do rights changing and everything else, because teams are going to have to pony up and pay players, hopefully more than they're making now, they're going to have to get people off their books as well.
Also, are we going to do this? Are we going to speculate?
Yeah. So part of it is also getting your book straight, right? And some contracts are very big. So yeah, I don't know. I put my thoughts down, but
I got a question. So was I tripping? Are they giving teams $150,000 per U.S. Women's National Team allocated player?
Right now, yes.
Okay, so then there's no freaking salary cap. So here's my effectively. So knowing some of the contracts of some of these players, and then you got the thing where Kristen Press is getting paid a lot of money. Mm-hmm. There's no salary cap, y'all. So don't let nobody tell you no different. There's no CBA, so there's no salary cap. There are no rules. This is a ruleless league.
You can challenge anything at this point.
You can challenge anything, and it probably won't hold up in court.
Yeah,
why that Olivia Moultrie case was bigger beyond that, her trying to play. It just nullified a bunch of stuff. Keep that in mind, people. So with that said, people got to get people off their books, because when a CBA does come, then you got to have your money right. So.
Yeah.
What's your first thought?
So.
Come on and say it. This is beautiful. Come on.
And I've said this in private moments for a while. To me. The minute Angel City, I guess they were LA. I don't know if they were Angel City when they hired her. For however I feel about Edie Aluko, the moment LA hired her, my suspicion was a certain player would end up in Los Angeles. A player she played with at Chelsea.
Oh.
So my reckless speculation, trademarked in Levitard, it is a speculation. I know y'all can come on my Twitter anyway. I think Crystal Dunn ends up in LA.
Yep, I think so too.
Yeah, I just think for a myriad of reasons. Also keeping in mind, Portland does not have a new coach yet.
Yep.
So you have no idea what the tactics will be, what the philosophy will be. I know there's a culture in Portland that doesn't necessarily mean player-wise Crystal Dunn is the best fit for it. So she could very well stay, but that's just sort of my opinion.
I also thought it too, because her contract is pretty massive. Her and Lindsay Horan's. And so if you're gonna have to pay the Sophia Smiths, the Morgan Weavers, Simone Charlies, that could easily end up on the national team.
Right.
Or you end up losing them to somebody else. You gotta then pay Becky Sauerbrunn decides to stay another year,
And I think if Becky Sauerbrunn stays, they've got to shoot a lot of money to they gotta play Kansas City for her, because that was part of her contract.
Oh,
I found that out today, actually. Shout out to Steve on my writing team. Yeah, they've got
That's a lot of money. So she plays, then you got to pay her off contract, and she is still a phenomenal center back.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to trade Becky Sauerbrunn because she's still good.
And then you have in the midfield, you got a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, you've gone to court over the 16-year-olds. You've got to keep her around. And I don't know if teams will try to poach her. Angela Salem, who's, I think, vastly underrated.
Yes.
Of course, for now, Lindsay Horan's still at Portland. I mean, the speculation all season has been that she will go to the O. We don't know that yet. And who else do you have in that? midfield.
Oh, Rocky Rodriguez.
Rocky Rodriguez.
So, yeah, you having to pay all these players. So then we got to keep in mind, this isn't just you got players coming off of allocation. If there is a CBA that comes in place that effectively says the league minimum is XYZ, you got to pay people $70,000, $85,000.
Correct.
And so when that ceiling rises,
mm-hmm.
then
as it should, by the way,
star player ceilings are going to rise. And so, you know, even if Kristen Press is currently going to make $700,000, it very well, by the time the contract completes, she probably makes to $1 million.
It's quite like, you know, when somebody in a position in NFL gets paid, right? It brings up the curves. It happens in the NBA, right? Like, even the quote unquote average person makes more than they should. Then everybody's going to make more than they should in theory. So that's likely what will happen with the NWSL in the coming years.
What's the other thing? Oh, another reckless.
Oh, so if Crystal Dunn is gone and Lindsey Horan is gone, right? And presuming they don't make the trade with Kansas City to protect their roster and a couple other people get poached, we imagine they'll protect the front three, that young core. And probably Becky only, well, they can't do Becky and Sophia. I just thought about that. But
you're protecting Sophia.
Yeah, you protect Sophia Smith. So presuming nobody kind of bites on Becky, because while she is still good, I think people don't want to sign her long term.
Yeah, I think she's made it clear she's playing for Portland.
Yeah, she's happy where she is. She has family there and her partners there and things of that nature. So who do you bring in? Because this is still Portland, right? This is still a perennial competitor, right, for the title. So.
Oh, isn't there somebody who's coming out of contract?
Yeah, abroad.
So what are your favorite clubs?
My actual club. And who's played in the NWSL most of her career.
Are you talking about a Samantha Kerr?
Samantha May, I believe she is, because sister is Samantha Chu.
Wait, man, yes. Why are you doing that?
I'm just trying to keep it straight.
Oh, so you're bringing up the sport. So you bring up the
sportsmanship.
Speaking of sportsmanship.
Houston's got to make a decision.
She's not saying.
Because to keep Christy Mewis, they're probably going to have to give up a lot. And they have a lot of good pieces. They have young talent.
Uh-huh.
I think Houston moves on from Christy Mewis. And I also don't know how much more she can grow at Houston. So
yeah, and I think it's reaching a point where I'm like, okay, we look like we're ready to go.
For a myriad of reasons.
So I think Sam Kerr and Christy Mewis may
end up in Portland.
Be bringing on the sportsmanship to Portland.
Bring all that sportsmanship in a city full of sportsmanship. The practice is a lot of sportsmanship. Yes, I kind of think that's a good move for all parties.
Yeah, I think it would be good.
And I think if Portland makes smart moves, they can afford both of them.
Yep.
And honestly, if you gave me Sam Kerr and Sophia Smith, I would be nervous a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that can work. So that's two that I have. Do you have any more, like, off the top of your head? And please keep in mind, people, I hear this every day. So if it seems wild,
so,
this is my life.
Yeah. So we do this all the time. So we'll say, we didn't say this, but Chicago and North Carolina are probably going to lose some pieces.
Yeah.
For sure. Chicago, for sure.
Yeah.
You can't keep all those people.
There's no way.
Because it's too many people coming off of allocation and too many people who got to get paid.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody's taking a hometown discount. That's not how this works. You're going to break bread. And San Diego and Los Angeles are like got the little money hands. They got the money guns. And they, you know, they doing the little
and it's warm.
They doing the, they doing the Spice Adams.
Oh, for sure. Right on.
Yeah, for sure, right on. They in the corner. They looking. I think you're gonna see.
Yeah, Chicago is, man.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Washington.
That's also true. Oh yeah. Should we? I I think with the news today, I know we've talked about Washington quite a bit, but just to do a quick fill in for people, so I'm not going to rant about them again. So today, the league findings, which was from a third party, essentially found that, yes, the story posted by the Post was in fact accurate, if not underselling the toxicity and abuse on the club, to the point where not only is Richie Burt fired, he cannot have any contact with anybody in the NWSL
ever,
or the Washington Spirit. So he can never coach in the NWSL again. And ownership, and we're assuming this does not include K. Michelle. I always called her K. Michelle. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, Michelle K. Holy God. Michelle K. Those are two very different people. Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
Sorry. So,
yes.
Oh, God. I'm going to catch it for that. Michelle Kang is not a part of the findings.
No, not at all.
And apparently it was she, Ben Olsen, and I can't remember the other person, but Larry Best, who is Steve Baldwin, the owner's right-hand man, neither of them were at the game on Sunday. And the findings today essentially said that they are, as of immediately and permanently, are stripping Washington ownership of their governing power within the NWSL, which means they can't do their job. And make decisions, and that they have 14 days to reply to that ruling, but it does not change the ruling. And I don't know what the consequences are if they don't reply within 14 days, but essentially it's a backhanded way to force Steve Baldwin to sell his shares because he cannot do his job.
Yeah, he can't do nothing. So the Washington Spirit will just exist. And so,
So that's what
so can they not trade anybody or anything? They got to just sit until the NWSL does something.
They have to sit for now, until they make a decision, because essentially the longer Baldwin holds onto the team, the more he is putting them at a disadvantage in terms of protecting roster, building roster, whatever.
So they basically impeach the whole government.
They're impeding the process if they don't sell their shares, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a workaround without getting into super legal trouble. But there was just too much going on, as we, again, has been reported on for a couple of months now. And it was just sexist and racist and all of these other things. And the league had to do something. And this is a pretty creative and legally sound way to do it. But we'll see what the next couple of weeks look like. But having said that, Washington kind of has to stay put right now. So we're going to put them to the side because they've got a few players too.
Yeah. That if depending on what happens with them, if they don't, well, they probably will correct ship by force. But they're players that you can only protect one allocated player.
Yeah.
So that opens the door for some interesting things.
Oh, no. They have three allocated players.
They got three allocated players. So who are you protecting? It should be Andy Sullivan.
It's going to be Andy Sullivan, right? You can't protect Cast Iron and George Foreman.
Why you put full names out there?
Those are your names. How you going to blame me for your name? I did not come up with those. But you can't protect. Like, you can't choose them over Andy Sullivan.
You shouldn't.
You should not in any circumstance.
You see the look I'm giving you? You shouldn't.
But, you know.
Because let Andy Sullivan be unprotected.
Oh, the worst. Well, that would be my worst nightmare if I didn't protect Andy Sullivan and she went to another team and whooped my ass. Like, whoop. And she plays with a chip on her shoulder, so she would take that very
well. I would love that. And,
she's from Nova. She's from Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
She's from Loudoun or something like that. So, I mean,
but she would look really nice in Los Angeles in the stadium.
Oh, my God. Every day. Every day.
Other than that, I'm trying to think.
I'm interested to see. I know Chicago has, Alyssa, Tierna, Julie Mao, Casey. Because I think Morgan's off. I protect Tierna Davidson. I'm interested to see what the heck they do with Julie Ertz.
I don't see her going to San Diego.
No, and that we'll talk about that in later episodes and why that's an issue.
Yeah.
But I don't know because that's a rough injury. It turns out she did tear it.
Yeah, she tore her meniscus. The question is, so I said a tweet where I was like, for her to be out the rest of the season, what is torn? What is completely hurt that she can't possibly play in the playoffs, where she legitimately, if she's playing, they could, well, they already are, they could win the league. But yeah, if you're at a point where you're like, you don't know if Alyssa and Julie Ertz can't play, in the case of Julie, it's like, what is going on? That did she re-tear the meniscus? Did she tear something else? Because they had said it was her quad and hip. So it is like, what's going on with her? But when she's healthy, you know, who, yeah, the question is not only Julie Ertz, but all of them. That you just named a bajillion U.S. Women National Team players. Who, how, you got to pay all them.
Yeah, because their names, and they sell tickets and merch and everything else. We could talk about the unfairness of marketing another time. And in terms of reputation, like Julie Ertz is as a player, strictly on the field, is pretty good. But I would also argue, of all the years for there to be a double expansion draft, this is a really bad one for her, right? Like, she's hurt, and both teams kind of, I mean, we could talk about the U.S. women's performance, right? But part of that is because Julie Ertz is essentially playing on one leg, and we didn't take the right players. But in the game since, like, Andy Sullivan looks like a pretty capable six for the national team, and Chicago's in a playoff position, but and that defense is really good.
Yeah, yeah, but I think more so your issue is going to be on defense. You can't protect all these players.
Yeah.
The issue is, like, I don't think Julie Ertz is the one who's going to be protected. You'll protect Tierna. But the question is, what are you going to do? I think actually Chicago trades to get exemptions from both of them and just stops it.
Well, I think they can do that. I think you can protect some. I think that rule about you can't take more than one player from defense essentially probably saves one of them. But yeah, I think Chicago makes a move because they got a lot of talent to protect.
But I think it's not only that, it's they need to offload contracts. So I actually think that too. Between San Diego and Angel City, some people are going to end up in California just because they don't want to pay them that money.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And so I think you make those decisions. I wouldn't be surprised either way if she moves or if she stays.
I think she moves.
Yeah, I think if she stays, it's probably her, Tierna, and maybe one other defender. But I think everybody else is gone. Yeah. It'll be very interesting. But both of those teams probably chomping at the bit to get one of those defenders.
And then let me think about your team. So y'all team, Sophia Clark, does she come on through?
She could if she wasn't come off if she wasn't gonna be protected.
Y'all come off of Lana Cook too. y'all do this. Stop that.
Woo!
Y'all can come off of the Zeke.
Keep naming people that we're protecting. Keep going.
Okay, whatever. Y'all can come off of Laurel Zavell too. Whatever. It'll be
interesting.
You only
have two allocated players.
My reckless speculation is actually Ola Ray might be the team that has the funds that actually can go get that exemption from Kansas City.
It's always a wild card. I don't think we will. But sure, I think we do things just because we want to sometimes, not because we need to.
Yeah. That's the only thing, because the other...
It's the Leon way, apparently.
Because the other thing, because the only team that I wouldn't think would do, the other team that would be Chicago. But because they really need to get people off contract, they probably aren't even going to have to do that. They're just going to be like, we're going to trade you these players.
They can trade for money, though. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It depends.
Yeah, because if you can trade for money, you stack more money to play the players that you wanted to keep, then it's all good.
And they can Roy tends to draft well. So when he actually uses those draft picks, yes.
he needs to draft the striker, but okay. Anyway, the other thing would be, I think Portland actually messes around and gets all the draft picks, gets one or two high draft picks, as in the top of the draft. And y'all
they build through the draft.
Y'all going to be real mad. I think Orlando.
Yeah. That's
I think Orlando sends, actually, I think Casey Stoney gets Amy Turner.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I'm trying to think who's over there. Orlando's interesting. I think Orlando's safer than you think.
Yeah, because there's not, you're not going to lose a big name.
Yeah, you're not. I don't think you're going to lose a big name.
Because there's only one allocated player they're protecting.
Yeah.
And Sid is not, they got lucky. Sid is not allocated yet. So,
yeah.
Or reallocated. And by the time allocation comes around, she probably won't be. Like, yeah.
There's no more allocation. There won't be.
Yeah, won't be any more allocation. Sorry. If she gets back, I think she should be on the national team. So, yeah, I think that timing sort of saves them. And she's clearly been their best, certainly offensive player, not their best player, period. But yeah, I think you can get a good player. I think that's what expansion drafts are for. It's to really fill out your roster.
Right.
You might get one superstar, reckless speculation. I think Lynn Williams ends up in LA. But because you can't protect her and Sam, and I think they protect Sam. I think you protect Sam.
And you give her, you pay her to contract.
You pay her that city money that she was getting.
Yeah.
And living her best life. That's why she was happy.
And you, but I do think, because of how North Carolina has an interesting situation that, again, if you have to then pay a minimal, then you got a bunch of people, you got to pay a lot of money. Even really veteran talent that you're going to have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
That you can see some people walking.
Yeah. And it makes the trade they made earlier this year make sense too.
Yeah.
Rodriguez. Yeah.
I think there's some crazy trade. I think we will learn. So Abby must have gone somewhere.
Yeah. That Abby Dolkemper. We're not. The loan is not alone.
And okay. AD French. That must be a part of some kind of crazy trade. Yeah. Those were two bizarre moves. So we'll probably find out about that in the next few weeks.
True.
And then what team? Are we missing a team? Have we
talked? We can say the Spirits, they put Gotham.
Gotham's an interesting situation.
They protect Midge because that's their allocated player. Yeah,
you protect Midge.
I think you protect Efi at this point.
Yes, you should.
You can't break that up.
Yeah. So they'll be able to protect more people. It's going to be interesting in the case of how many people on that back line you can protect. And then,
because
that thing is good. Even if they're hurt, that's like, you got like a hot all brick city back there.
Any of those defenders is good.
Additionally, I do wonder about in the goalkeeper situation.
Woo, yeah. They got two good ones.
DD's gone.
I think so. They have two really good goalkeepers.
But I think in the case of New York, they're going to lose Didi, some defenders.
Yeah.
Maybe a forward.
This is me giving Carly Lloyd credit. I think her retiring saves them a lot of grief.
Yes.
That was a good move for your team. I don't know if that was why she did it. Probably not. But she ends up doing a solid for Gotham. So
yeah, because it would have been
because it would have been two allocated players and
you're protecting Midge.
Yeah, you have to protect Midge first. You see the difference when she plays versus when she doesn't. They did not win while she was hurt. Like, that's legitimate. So
And my last speculation is Kansas City will come off players.
Yeah, even,
whether or not they sell the protection, I still think that they have a lot of talent that's kind of hidden, and even how they players haven't been used correctly, money talks. And I can totally see Angel City or San Diego or both approaching Kansas City and say, hey, give me some players.
Yeah, you can still make trades. They're just exempt from the expansion.
Yeah. But I can totally see them.
They've got good pieces. Yeah, they've got the kind of pieces that I think if you're like one or two pieces away from the championship, you go get one of those players and they'll get you there.
Yeah, but I even see Angel City or San Diego being like, hey, give me that player. We'll pay you this much money. Send me them people, those pieces, and they come up off of them.
I agree. So thus ends.
That ends the speculation.
League-wide reckless speculation, but we'll try to do at least one team, maybe two in the coming segments. It is a lot to pour over a roster and try to figure out what a team will look like. That's why people get paid a lot of money to do it. But we like it. It's a fun thought exercise, even when
we're gonna pimp your team.
Yeah.
As to what it should look like.
Because nobody's team is gonna look the same after this season. So let's get into the chaos. We're trying to embrace it. All right. I think it's that time.
It's time for hits and riffs.
Am I going first this week or are you going first this week?
You go first.
Okay. So for me, this is my ain't shit jam. My turn up, it's not a super turn up, but like it's not a slow jam. So my turn up is One Night Stand by Jasmine Sullivan. I'm just gonna keep going. My Yesterday Quiet Storm is Make Me Whole by Emile LaRue. No relation to Sid, nor is it spelled the same way. She's being Groove Theory, which is a very important group to the neo soul movement. But
if you want me to.
Okay, fun fact, I was in love with Bryce, but that's a whole different conversation. I was in love with
Bryce. He is donor worthy.
He is lovely. I love me some Groove Theory. Those are my two. What is yours?
Okay, so like I said, I've been exploring my list in celebration of Latin Heritage Month. And so let's see. My Yesterday turn up situation is Daddy Yankee.
Wow.
Okay, paso. So basically that song is about where him and a girl get together and do adult things, and then he finds out that old girl he had a boo. And so lo que paso entre tu y yo, like that. Like it's basically him being like frustrated, but it's a reggaeton bop. That dropped years ago, man. I got many stories with this. I'm not going into it in that. We're not gonna have that time story time version of that.
Okay.
I used to sing that.
All right.
But other one. It's not a quiet storm because I ain't doing quiet storm. My Yesterday quiet storm, that's not really a quiet storm. It brings me peace. Well, so the movie Dance With Me, I love that movie with Cheyenne and Vanessa Williams. Oh my God.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh,
dang, I'm probably going to go watch that now.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. And so, I don't know. Y'all hear me get, I couldn't find, so they do have Eris. It Total Me by Anna Gabriel. I love the Roomba that's done when Vanessa Williams does that. That's the da-da-da-da-da me. But anyway, one of my favorite songs actually is not a quiet storm. It's Fiesta Pa Los Rumberos by Albita.
Yes.
Oh my bad, Albita. And so phenomenal. So I love that whole dance sequence they do in the club. It's the second time Cheyenne or Raphael and Vanessa Williams character, they go on a date, and so it's whole crazy beautiful coordinated salsa segment that happens in that portion of the movie to this song, and then I'll be just singing the song. But fun fact, story time with Sky, when I lived in Miami, we went to Oi Como Air on Calle Ocho on F Street, and so my roommate wanted to go. And so we went the weekend before, and we ended up going again when she, for some reason, appeared back in Miami and was like, fuck it, I'll do a concert. And so it was funny because we were sitting in the back. And so there were some rude white people who weren't Cuban. They were American people who had just like shimmied up in there.
Okay.
And so she purposely was watching them. And so when she finally did this song, she walked up to them and she made them sing. She was like, she was then asking them like, how good is your Spanish? And they were freaking out, sweating bullets. But then we were like freaking out. So me and my roommate were both like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She gonna come see us? Cause like, if I open my mouth, like, am I gonna have to sing in Spanish? But no.
Oh, okay.
That was all good.
Like a story time. And that was the family friendly one. So
But it's funny, she winked at us. She winked at us because we were both, because actually, so my roommate was like, oh my God, I would tell her she's so beautiful. And I'm like, you can't be saying that, man.
All right.
Her boo was like right there.
And then
Yeah, all right.
It was family friendly until the moment. So this is not.
This ain't for the kids.
It's fun.
This is kid friendly. It was fun. That was a bomb. I actually was one of my favorite. I love going to that spot, watching stuff that closed. Closed due to the pandemic. I think last year, but I love going there when I lived in Miami. But yeah, that's that.
Okay.
To the today.
All right. So my today isn't super new. It's Waters of March. There's a million versions of it. Jobim is the original writer of that song. But it's the Sergio Mendes "Let Us See Well I Am" version, and soccer fans might be familiar with it because I think they played it for the World Cup in Brazil in 2014 or 16, whenever that was. 2014. But yeah, I love that song and always puts me in a good mood. So that's my today turn up. Again, not a super fast song, but great, and you can always dance to it. And then "A Quiet Storm" is "First Again" by PJ Morton.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay, so my today turn up, it ain't today.
Wow.
It's of the day. So my turn up is the vibes of Nina Sky.
College.
Move Your Body.
It's a college jam right there.
Yeah, that was a college jam. Yeah. Just get it. I had many blessings to that song.
Okay.
I'm sorry. many dance parties.
I danced real hard to that song.
Yeah, I was danced too, and was danced on to that song. I was moving my body.
I didn't do that part, but yes, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, and then to the today Quiet Storm. Okay, so I watched LR Generation Q. You're gonna hear a rant about this in the coming weeks, depending on what they do. It's gonna be one anyway, but I'm being patient before I drop that rant. Okay. Anyway, so somebody made a fan cam for a couple. I'm not gonna spoil, but anyway, so I by Daniela Andrade.
Andrade, yeah.
That song is so fire. So I had heard that song, and it's funny, somebody had mentioned this song. I had heard this song about when it dropped in 2019, and I didn't know what the heck it was, and I was like, yo, what is that song? And nobody knew what the heck I was talking about. And then lo and behold, somebody makes a fan cam with it, and I'm like, oh, this is my joint. So go check it out. It's "A Quiet Storm." It'll bless you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll get blessed.
All right.
Go look at the lyrics to that. Go be blessed. Fortunately for y'all, I couldn't get the instrumental. So anyway.
That's
time for the segue into the rant of the week.
Yes. We'll try to keep it brief. I think we're doing well today. And since I did the first, since I went first for hits and riffs for rants, you can jump right in.
Oh, that how we're doing it? Okay, fine. So, all right. So, my rant's quick. Can y'all stop acting like the U.S. Women's National Team is going to fall apart because a bunch of people are about to retire or going to be asked? They're going to be shown the door or shown the bench as a sub? Look, if you didn't learn anything from that Paraguay second game, the biggest thing you should have learned is they're going to be okay. And what it looks like when you actually have talent flowing together at the right speed, like this team is like phenomenal. Cause man, they did double homicide out there on the pitch.
Yes.
They'll be good. They'll be fine. Being disrespectful, like the team's gonna fall off. No, again, the team, what you see, the U.S. Women's National Team currently is the white version. When the doors of the diversity church open and everybody can come in, then the world has to catch up to what that looks like. And yes, all that phenomenal generational talent, excellent talent, talent that's phenomenally good, also including even some white players
who
are phenomenal at their positions and then like legitimately play fullback or are the six.
Yeah.
And you don't have to substitute somebody who's a seven or eight or a fake forward to be a six. Like, and you know, anyway, you're going to see a transformation of the team. So y'all need to chill. Y'all need to be easy. Let's stop this foolishness, because every time the U.S. Women National Team plays and we see this narrative, it's annoying. That's it.
Oh, that's beautiful and quick. So mine is equally quick and along those lines. So two quick things. I didn't touch on it last episode, but EA Sports, I think, dropped their FIFA Women's game and or their game period and have women's teams and players on it. And they did, I think there were screenshots of like the first, 22 players and their rankings. And listen, I don't really have a problem with Minima and Renard being at the top. Fine. Listen, I love the national team, but Heath and Rapino and Morgan being 90 and Ertz. But not having Patelis, not having Harder, not having Press, not having Dunn at all on that list, wild to me. I have Fran Kirby also wasn't on that list. Like,
that was wild.
It was an offensive, there were a lot of offensive omissions on that list. And so I don't know what we're basing it on, but it doesn't seem like it's reality. And there were only two Black players, right? It was Wendy Renard and I think Amil Mushrik was on there as well. So I was just super confused about that list. Speaking of lists, the other one that was originally put out maybe a week and a half ago, they took it down because people ratioed the hell out of them and then put it back up today, is the ICC's, I'm sorry, the women's ICC's best footballers under 21 or 21 and under, I should say, because those are the rules for you, 21. So they amended it. I'll read it out really quickly. It's Ellie Carpenter, Lauren Hemp, Espy Morgan, Sophia Smith, Katarina Macario, Olivia Moultrie, Sandy Baltimore, Lena Oberdorf, Ivana Fuso, Trinity Rodman, Barbara Banda. So they added Smith and Banda, I believe off the strength of anger from the internet. One of these things, it's not like the other. One of these things just isn't the same. I will let you tell me who you think that is. But I also think some glaring omissions are Gio Quiroz, for sure. Lauren James, I know she's not healthy right now, but she's better than several people on this list. I think Gloss is over 21 now. But yeah, there's a few glaring omissions to me. And again, I just think both of those show me that, do y'all watch women's soccer?
Oof, Lord Jesus, no.
I have a lot of thoughts. But I don't have a problem with a decent number of people. You know, I love Baltimore, and I think Carpenter's great. Hemp is a baller. Banda is, I think, the breakout star of the year. So yeah, they're, and I mean, Kat is Kat, and Sophia, and Trinity. So yeah, I just thought that that was very interesting, but at least that list has more Black people on it. So congratulations.
Y'all did better. Y'all evolved a little bit. Just a
But that's my rant. That's my rant. I actually watch women's soccer before you rank things. But that's all I have. And now Raves.
All right, so Raves. So yeah. They're personal this week. Yeah. All right, so the best friend forever, Jesus, is finally a lawyer. He passed the bar. So now he's a lawyer in the great state of Florida. So I'm happy for you, Shawty. I'm happy for you, wifey, and another lifey. I guess I'll be seeing you soon at my home. And then also, the forever boo, Ellie. She got her master's in data science analysis. So she out here in the world doing great things. I see you, boo.
All right. Congrats to both Jesus and Ellie. And yeah, y'all a little smart, apparently. So that's dope. Mine are brief as well. Today, it's been a hard day, but I did have a really cool chance to meet three Black artists who are also alums of the university that I work at. And there's a Black Lives Matter exhibit in our art museum, which is pretty nice, actually. And so I just got to chat with them about their work today. And when I tell you, like, being in a space with Black artists and Black art, like, reinvigorated something in me, like, spoke to my soul. It fortified me as I went back out into the work world to fight battles. This is part of work, by the way. But it was just really great, and I needed it. And it just reminded me of why we need art. And particularly art that's not white, not Western, not Eurocentric. It just did something to my spirit. And so I wanted to give a special shout out to Damon and Aisha and Hassan for sharing themselves and their work with myself and some of my colleagues in the coming days, and that they're amazing and talented and they inspired me. And then shout out to my mama. Her birthday was yesterday. So I was gonna say, I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. So that's my heart. I get on her nerves and she gets on mine, but I don't know if I love a person more. So shout out to Rev B. I ain't gonna say her real name. But I love you, Mom, and I know you listen even though you don't watch soccer. So thank you for always being my biggest cheerleader.
Happy birthday, Mama.
Yes. But that's all we have for the week.
All right, so shout the people out.
Always shout out to Can I Kick It, the homie Yogi, always keeping it real, keeping us entertained. Shout out to For the Culture, the homies Grego and Dim Boys, and Coach and TK and everybody. Y'all, honestly, y'all have our back, so we truly appreciate it. Shout out to the other podcast, Diaspora United. Our group chats are lit.
Just be wild.
They're two of my favorite people for sure. Kaya, what up?
Kaya, what it do? What do, Pippin?
Out here, I think she's doing anti-racist soccer club. So I think there's a form up for people to join that as supporters and fans. Please fill that out. Get into the work that needs to be done. Kaya and I think Bilal and a couple of others in that. But check out their page. I'm sure it's linked on her personal page as well. But just trying to continue to do work and actually hold people accountable and make changes. Two cents, man. Y'all are my homies. Y'all are good people, man. And doing just great work and doing some things really quietly. That you have our back. That's just Black folks supporting Black folks. I just wanted to shout that out because people don't know. And then, as always, Protagonist Soccer and the Alliance Podcast family for always giving us a place to use our voice. So, yeah, that's what I got.
Okay, so then next week we're going to talk about some NWSL matches.
Boom.
We're going to have a new segment because when we finally get the rhythm right, we got a chance.
Yes.
It's called SBFC Double Dutch. You'll find out what the heck that is.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
When we get the rhythm together.
Yeah.
Then we're going to play some more. We're going to pimp your team.
Yes.
What should we go after first next week? Let's pick a team. Who are we going?
Do we want to do expansion? Because
no.
Okay. No, all right. We'll save those for last.
We'll save that for last.
We talked about Chicago a lot today.
So Chicago. We're gonna pimp your team, Chicago Wings. No. Red Stars.
It'll be all great things we hear. Feedback. Can't wait.
And then other than that, whatever news of the week, because NWSL don't have their life together. And then we got a top 10 list. See, we need to get our lives together and deal with that because it's almost the end of the year. Anyway, and then we're going to have the Hits and Hurts and Rants and Rise of the Week. But anyway, that's it. So,
yeah,
about to bounce. We got to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And make sure the Black woman of your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And then, y'all got to have a good week. And we'll see y'all.
Yeah, we'll see y'all later.
Stay Black. Well, stay Black, stay shea butter adjacent, stay all that.
Yeah. And Black Lives Matter, always.
Peace.
Peace.